to see everyone here with us this morning. We are happy you're here with us in the building. And those of you that are joining us online, we're happy that you are with us as well. It is the Lord's Day. We want to honor him. We want to put him first in our minds and in our hearts. He's done everything for us. So let's give him our very best as we come together to worship God. I want to begin by introducing our guest speaker for today. And that way I won't have to interrupt the worship service. But about 10 years ago, I was asked by a preacher friend of mine, Gene Clemens, if I would do a video Bible study with a young lady that he had met in China. And this young lady, whom he met in China, lives in Russia. And the reason she was in China, she was doing university work there, preparing herself to be fluent in Chinese. So anyway, I got started with Sasha, and that led to the group that I met there. I think it was a women's group I started with, maybe a young adults group that I started having Bible studies with on Skype, and then it went to other platforms. But from that has come a deep, deep friendship with several people in Barnaul, Russia. And that's where Joseph Rhodes is from, our guest speaker today. Joseph and his wife, Sonia, are with us this weekend. Sonia's in the back, sitting back there with the Misterlys, I think. There she is, waving her hand. You need to meet both Sonia and Joseph. These are remarkable people. They are people who love the Lord. They serve the Lord very faithfully in the Barnaul Church of Christ. And you'll see, we're the same. I mean, we may speak different languages, we may live in different countries, but we are the same. And I love these people. Joseph has been through here. Well, Joseph and Sonia both have been through here. I think this may be your fourth time, Sonia, in the U.S. Joseph was here earlier this year when he had some complications. His mother had some issues he had to come back to the U.S. for. And then complications about getting back. But things are working out. God is always with us when we're doing his will. And I'm just so happy that Joseph is with us and that he's going to be able to speak to us this morning. If you missed the Bible study period, I urge you to go back to YouTube and watch it, because it was a wonderful, uplifting report on what is being done, especially through the camp in Russia. And it's not like camp we have here, where it's, you know, kids a lot of times. This is families from all over the nation of Russia. So I really urge you to go back and watch that if you did not catch that report. But also want to acknowledge, and Tim, I didn't know if you were going to get up here and do that. You want to come up here and recognize some other people before Gene comes up and gets us started? All right.
Well, we had another group from Fried Hardeman that was with us this weekend, 21 students and a faculty member that went out. Also, a few ladies from Ohio that also came down. And they're scattered about, but we'll ask them to stand if you came and helped this weekend. And we appreciate so much what they did. They were in Damascus, and they were in Mountain City, and they were in Hampton cleaning up. And yesterday, I'll tell you this, they worked so much faster and effectively than we even anticipated. I know Charlie's mom's house in Mountain City was completed, and a lot of the work in Damascus that we've been working on was completed up to a point that I think now needs skilled labor. And then the work we were doing in Hampton was at least completed as far as what we could do that day. And so they finished a little bit early yesterday, which was actually turned out to be a good thing, because I think as soon as they started leaving, the rain started pouring. So that would have been a really tough day. But thank you again, everyone who has loaned your air mattresses and your cots, those of you who have supplied meals. There's one more meal today before you leave. Stick around and eat, students and friends, before you head out of here. But thank you so much. Our congregation and community really appreciates your love and sacrifice to be up here working on that today. Gene?
I will welcome, add my welcome to Brother Tim. We're just glad you're here and have visitors. We're certainly welcome to visitors and invite you back at every opportunity. We're going to start our worship service with a scripture from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but be in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to the Lord. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And now we're going, Brother Phil Gillum's going to lead our singing.
Would you please stand with me as we sing together our first song, We Praise Thee, O God. Let's all sing.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, Lord Jesus, who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thy glory, hallelujah.
Sing hymn number 141. 141. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you.
Heavenly Father, we appreciate you.
Sing together hymn number 251. 251, The Lord Thy God. The
Lord Thy God.
Father in prayer.
You'll pray with me, please. Most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks. Father, we're so thankful for the area in which we can gather, the safety that we feel here, and the protection we have from the elements. Lord, in the recent days and weeks, we've seen great disasters, but we've also seen your people stepping up and rising to the call. Lord, we're so thankful for the servants' hearts that have been given to all those who have volunteered. We're thankful, Lord, for just the strength and endurance that you've provided them. We pray, God, that you will protect those who desperately need you right now. We ask, Father, that the pathways be open for them to receive the services and goods that they need. Father, we also pray, because we're at a time in this country where everyone is either fighting or just tense. We see a lot of division taking place, Lord, and we know that does not come from you. We know, Lord, that there is a great evil that is present here on this world, and we just ask, God, that we be given discernment, that we can see the animosity, that we can see through the misinformation that is out there, that we can take the information that we're being provided and we can use it for good. Help us, Lord, to stay focused on the task, and that is you. We pray, God, that you would have mercy upon us for the times that we have become weak, for the times that we have failed you. And as always, Lord, we pray for the forgiveness of our sins, but we also pray for a forgiving heart, that we can forgive those who ask for forgiveness of us. Father, we're so thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus, for the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And we pray, God, that we're able to take this message out into the world so others can know of that gift. So, Father, strengthen us, guide us, give us the servant's heart we need to serve you in this kingdom. And it is in your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Before we have a scripture reading and our lesson this morning, we'll sing together hymn number 75. 75, I sing the mighty power of God.
I sing.
I sing the mighty power of God. There is a children's training class that will begin in just a few minutes, so the children can make their way out of the back, turn towards the right, and they'll be directed where to go. The scripture this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
That's a serious commission, isn't it? Go into all the world. Dear church, I am eager to share with you a jewel of truth, something that changed the course of my life. As you know, jewels are obtained by digging and processing, digging deep and processing. I like to encourage our teenagers in church to quit digging for potatoes and dig for jewels. That's what we're going to do today. And I want to begin with this verse, these verses from John chapter 5. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things like healing on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Well, the Jews didn't like that. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Son can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." Just a little side verse, not the main part of the verse, but verse 18 there, this is why the Jews were seeking to kill him. I just have to slide this comment in. There's a lot of discussion with those in Islam who believe Jesus never claimed to be God, and I'm thinking this verse pretty clearly states that the people who heard Jesus speaking understood he was claiming equality with God. So should be very useful. But that verse is not the focus of this lesson. I want to look at the other verses where I've taken liberty to highlight some key phrases. I want to extract those phrases and dig deeper into them. These are going to be the basis for today's lesson. Verse 17 has this phrase, "My Father, our God, is working until now." Or the NIV, "God is always at his work, even to this very day." So in context, when Jesus was talking to the Israelites around him, the Jews around him, they were upset that he was doing such terrible things as healing a person on the Sabbath day. How could he dare? How dare he? How dare he? And yet, he made a point. He says, God is working. Even today, God is working. This would be something that they should have understood. You know, when we read about creation, we read 6 days of creation and God rested on the seventh, making it the Sabbath later that God gave into Moses through the law as a day of rest, a day of connecting with him. And then it got twisted over time. But even the Jews should have realized God was still at work. He didn't stop working. He only rested. He's still working, right? He's not an observer. He's alive. He's involved. He's interested. And he's active. The Jews of that day would have agreed. Jehovah is an active God. He judged and flooded the earth, saving Noah and his family. He chose and renamed Abraham. He delivered the Israelites from Egypt. He's an active God. He didn't just wind us all up and let it go and see what's going to spin out, see what's going to happen. Jesus wanted the Jews and us to understand God is working on the Sabbath and every other day of the week too. Our God is an active God. God is always at work. Verse 19 has two phrases for us. The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. I used to imagine this as kind of like the little boy pushing the plastic lawnmower behind his dad, you know, an imitation, or the little girl who's got the kitchen set and she's imitating mom in the kitchen and doing things. But I think now it's way, way deeper than that. Those were the potatoes. The jewels are this. It's about connection. Jesus says, I can't do anything on my own. I do only what I see the Father doing. This connection involves being able to see God's activity. We can look around and we can see the news and we can get distracted. The question is, are we trained to see and actively trying to see what God is doing? We're trying to see it. We're trying to recognize it. We have to be able to recognize it. When God does something, is that Him? Can we see that? That means it's about knowing God, knowing His priorities, knowing His desires, and knowing His ways. We read the verse about the Great Commission, but how do we do that? We're looking at these verses to see how Jesus fulfilled His commission so that we can imitate Him, learn from Him. So in context, Jesus was explaining what should have been obvious to the Jews. There was a lame man who is now walking. That's a good thing. That's a restoration thing. That's the kind of thing God is involved in. Why are they upset? Obviously, it's a work of God. Very often, telling our teenagers in Barnhill, I say, God gave you gray matter, use it. He wants us to make conclusions. He wants us to see. Oh, the Son, in another instance, Jesus can say, take up your mat and walk, or He can say, your sins are forgiven, right? And in the whole lesson, He's trying to say, I want you to understand, I can do both. It says something about who I am. The Jews should have been able to witness a lame man walking and put aside all of the rules and understood God was in their presence and God was acting. But Jesus, let's look carefully how that happened. God does that kind of stuff, that reconstructive, the reconnecting, the healthy, restoring, bringing to life kind of stuff. Not the adversary. The adversary lies and destroys. Jesus was explaining how He was able to heal somebody. Not by Himself, but in connection with God His Father. He was trying to explain how He was able to cast out demons, how He was able to give life, and later on, if you read further, how He will be able to give eternal life. He was explaining how He was able to teach the truth with love. He couldn't do it on His own, but only in partnership with His Father. And just so this is never taken out of context, this is not me saying that anything against Jesus' divinity, that he was weak man and had to have the Father. It's not about that. It's about connection. It's the opposite of that, in fact. There's Jesus's and God's relationship, God is Father's relationship, was so close a relationship that both were involved in whatever was being done. He couldn't do it without the Father. He couldn't do anything by himself. And then we have this other phrase, whatever the Father does, that's what the Son does. Very often we have this slogan, I'm going to call it a slogan because it's not in the scriptures, but you've heard it before, where the Bible speaks, we speak, where the Bible is silent, we are silent, right? By Thomas Campbell sometime in the 1809. Well, here Jesus is saying, whatever the Father does, the Son does. Or we can extract further, wherever the Father works, the Son works. Whatever the Father thinks, the Son says. Or maybe we could even pull it further and apply it to us and have similar sentences like, whatever God does, we do with him. Wherever God works, we work with him. Whatever God commands, like the Great Commission we heard, we do with him. We say, with him? Wait a minute. How's that? But he said, and I will be with you even to the end of the age. We're doing it with him. The report I gave earlier is his work through people. So let's summarize these into principles for the Son. The Father is always at work. The Son sees what his Father is doing and joins him. And the Son does what the Father does. I'm not trying to rewrite the scriptures. I'm trying to understand it. How can I apply it? So I want to take a look at those principles and see how they apply to us. And it would look this way. God is always at work. We should see, we should learn to see what God is doing around us and then join him. We should do what God does. And I don't mean the kind of miracle stuff that Jesus was doing. I mean things like teach the truth in love, fulfill others' needs, comfort, right? Aren't those the things God does that we can do? That's what I mean by we should be doing what God does. Moses gives us an example. We'll pull up some verses here, some verse references. I'll read those for you. In Exodus chapter 3, 7 to 10, we hear that God has a plan. God is in motion. He's at work. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, and I know their sufferings. And here's the purpose statement. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land to a good and a broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, he's talking to Moses, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. So I'm going to send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God revealed his plan to Moses. He is at work. This is something he's doing, and he's going to bring Moses in. He's inviting Moses in to join him. And that's the next part, right? We should see what God is doing and join him. And we'll find out in Exodus 4:20. So Moses took his wife and his sons and had them ride on a donkey, and he went back to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the staff of God in his hand. And as you continue reading the next several chapters, you know the story. You've heard it since childhood probably, about how Moses represented God before Pharaoh and led the people out of bondage into the promised land. I mean, that's what he did, what we should do, what God does. He led Israel. Read the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses led and taught the people. So it's easy, right? One, two, three. Yeah, easy. Well, it's simple. I'm gonna put a different word in there. It is simple. It is that simple, but it is not easy. It's not easy neither to join him nor to do what he does. Both take great effort. Maybe you remember what happened in between the point where God said, I'm going to send you, and Moses went, right? We have those questions here in these verses. And Moses is saying, wait, God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children? You know, let translation, who, me? You want me to do that? Really, me? Verse 10. Oh, that was 3:11. Now verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. But I'm slow of speech and of tongue. Isn't it interesting in there? Actually, when I was preparing this, I noticed the verse where he says, neither in the past or since you've spoken to your servant. God, I'm not. You have, even you talking to me hasn't changed me, is what that verse is saying. Exodus 4:10. I'm not eloquent. And God was, you remember the response. God said, this isn't about you, this is about me. I'm the one who made the tongue. I'm the one who's going to be speaking. It's going to be me who's doing this stuff. You're my servant. Join me in this. Exodus 4:13, Moses said, please send somebody else. Please, I don't want to do this. He knew what was coming. He knew it was a bigger task than him. This was going to be uncomfortable territory. It was going to be confrontational with a capital C. Would you please send somebody else? But it was God's will for Moses to be his tool, his representative in the situation. So I think maybe we need to modify our principles there in this way. There's going to be a crisis of faith like Moses had. There's reasons why I can't be the one. I'm not the one. Please send somebody else. There's going to be that. But we have to get God's perspective when we have a crisis of faith. We got to get his viewpoint on how things are going to happen. He says, I'm the one leading them to the promised land. I want you to go do this. But it was God's plan and God's mission. So we need to get that perspective like Moses did, and then we have to adjust our plans. Moses was going to be happy being a shepherd up in Midian the rest of his life. I'd be happy doing that. But God said, I got other things I want you to do, things I've prepared for you to do. Then we join him. It's just a small change there, but it's more of a truthful representation of the principles that we need to follow. If you'd like a New Testament example, just consider the Apostle Paul, who was once the persecutor Saul, right? His God was always at work, Jehovah was always at work, but he saw all these Christians as being against Jehovah until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus and changed his perspective. He had his plans, right? I'm going to go imprison those Christians in Damascus. But then he had to change those plans and become, could you believe it, an apostle to those Gentiles? Not even to Jews, but to the Gentiles. He really had a change. But he joined God and did what God was doing, which was saving all men. Now, at this point, I got to say, I do not take credit for these jewels. These are biblical truths And the study is not my own study, but it's something that, as I said at the beginning, it changed the course, the trajectory of my life. These are a very condensed version of a long study that I was involved in when my inherited faith was becoming a personal faith, a personal relationship with God. And during that study, somebody invited me to go on a short-term mission trip to sunny southern Siberia. Yeah, showed this map earlier, it's the same map. Barnaul is located in about the center of the continent and just a little bit northwest of Kazakhstan, Mongolia, and China. We actually have taken the train into Kazakhstan quite a few times as part of our travel. At the time I was invited to do that, I was a civil engineer working for the Federal Aviation Administration. And at work, I was part of a Bible study on Fridays at lunchtime. In the church, I was leading songs. I was saying prayers, sometimes the speech before the communion. I was teaching a children's Sunday school class. So I was a lot like you all, grown up in the church and serving in the church. Just a regular, active church member. The purpose of the trip was to teach basic Bible story lessons to these kids. Go to Russia, go into a public camp, teach basic Bible stories like creation and David and Goliath and stories of Jesus. Hand out of my first Bible picture book from Eastern European missions. But the kids I met look like them. The little blonde girl's name is Nastya. Dark-haired girl behind her is Aliona. These pictures were taken over 20 years ago. They made an impact on me that I remember their names. But what I really remember is that they represent like the 16 kids that I had in my first class when it was time to teach the lesson on how God made the world. I asked the question, how many of you have already heard the story, how God made the world? And two raised their hands. And those two heard from their grandmothers. I need to stop right here and ask you, please raise your hand if you had never, ever heard anything about the Bible before age 15. No hands. 14. 13. 12. You are blessed. Not a hand. Not a single hand up. There's a generation right there who did not get the blessing you got. That moved me. Happy, healthy, clothed, fed, and dead with no future. Do you believe that? If they don't have a teacher telling them about Jesus and God, they are dead. Right? John 3:16 says, you're already condemned. Jesus came to change that. They were already condemned. That truth was astounding and life-changing. So I returned in 97 as a team leader, returned in 98 as a team leader, and there was a co-leader with a second team. I stayed behind to consider moving there so that more kids would know, more kids would hear and have a chance. The logo of our ministry started out to be they deserve to know, but then it's we all. It changed, it modified, and it stayed now. We all deserve to know the truth. We all deserve to know the truth. So my story follows this pattern also. God is always at work. How was he at work? He was at work in the mission team that I joined to go there for a short time. He was at work in the church that was already existing in Barnoul, but it wasn't ready for all the children that were responding. Somebody needed to help not only teach the kids, but help the church teach the kids. I saw that God wanted these children to know. But then came that crisis of faith. I took some water, my Bible, my songbook, and borrowed a tent and went out to some woods and just talked with God for a while. And saying, what is this crazy idea you're putting into my head? Who, me? I'm an engineer. I'm not a teacher. Although I was teaching classes, but, you know, that's my training, being a project engineer. I said, I know the alphabet. How am I supposed to go to another country where I can barely say the letters and I can't pronounce the words? Hey, God, this you're wrong choice, wrong choice. How am I supposed to provide for myself? Okay, I can't get a job. There's unless they have a job for an English speaker who knows no Russian in Russia, I can't get a job. So how are you going to do that? I wrote these all down, and I listened to the Bible stories that came to mind. I didn't hear a voice. I was just reminded of what I was taught in Sunday school. God has always provided for every one of his workers, ever. Oh, you need to be willing to accept the level of that he provides. He might not provide at what I'm used to. You remember Elijah, what he ate during the famine? The stuff the birds brought? But he provided. I need to be willing to accept whatever level God wants to provide. Okay, check, that one's off. But what about the language stuff? Well, you already know that there are bilingual people over there. They'll help. You'll learn. Okay. But who am I to teach these lessons? I've never gone to, where are you guys from, Freed Hardeman? I've never gone there, never gone to Lipscomb and all these other, I just got Sunday school and sermons, and some of those I slipped through. He said, it's not you who has the message, it's me who has the message. Just be there, and be there for me. Crisis, wilderness time. So I quit the FAA, sold most everything, and moved. I had elderships who I asked, would you help me out? And they said, we don't want to help you make a mistake. But because of my time with God, and him answering my questions from the scriptures, not a message. I will take care of you. I've always taken care of everybody. I provide for the work that I want done. That's God's message. What else can you say? But yeah, I'll go. Okay. I did say, this part came up. God, I've got a pretty good salary. I got a government job. It's good. It's secure. I even feel like you helped me through school and got me to this place. How about I just promise to live on half of what I make and I give that money to a real missionary? The guy who's supposed to go. Somebody else. Sound a whole lot like Moses. Yeah, please send somebody else. No, I'm glad that I had the study of these verses out of John, that these principles I could live by. Look at what he's done now. We have a camp that has 126 participants this past year and 144, the maximum that we could have in the facility the previous year. They're coming not only from the city of Barnoul, but they're coming from all over Russia, St. Petersburg and Minsk. They're over 2,000 miles away, and people are getting on planes and trains, and one crazy guy even got his license, and then a month later made the road trip, 5 days to drive over to camp in Barnoul. These dots represent where the church is in Russia and Kazakhstan and Minsk, and we've had people coming from all of those that are yellow. there is another camp in that western area that a lot of the churches there are participating in. So, what else do we see? We see a winter camp. I didn't mention that this morning. Not in addition to the summer camp, we now have a winter camp that is for the oldest age group, about 15 to the early 20s. This year, they're at capacity for the facility, and the Russians are totally taking over the planning and the accomplishment of the work. It is a local work. And this is an important moment where the kids are able to get back together, the youth are able to get back and reinforce each other. One of the girls that was baptized in camp comes from a place, Krasnoyarsk, where there is no Church of Christ other than her parents and her now. She needs times like this. She needs to be able to come back. We've made a priority. All of the new converts for the last 2 or 3 years in camp will have priority at getting a seat in this event, Footprints in the Snow. 62 new Christians have come out of the last 12 years of our camp work. This girl in the middle, Lisa, is somebody my wife has been studying with. Her story is amazing. Her family's not super regular. They live kind of far out, often in the villages. It makes travel back on Sundays difficult. But Sonia has been studying with her off and on throughout that time. She told, after we learned that she was baptized just a couple weeks ago, Sonia contacted her and said, "So what was the change? What was the trigger for you to finally make that decision?" She said, "Well, I got together with a bunch of friends and we were going to celebrate a birthday party and everybody got drunk. And I looked around and I said, I don't want this life." And she left the party and she immediately said, "I want to be baptized. This is the life that I want. This is the hope that I want." Thank you, Lisa, for your story. So these are the principles. I take no credit for the success of the ministries. The glory belongs to God. I don't have any unique talents or abilities or gifts. I'm just a guy. I used to say I'm a graduate of Sunday school, but somebody's questioned that and says, "No, they still got to go to Sunday school. Don't graduate. Keep going. Keep learning." They're right. I'm a guy whose inherited faith became a personal relationship that God could use. Look at what he's done. And if he can use me, he can use you. Don't waste energy and time looking for what you can do for him. Instead, learn to see the kind of things that he does and then join him. He wants kids. In my story, I saw kids and I knew he wanted them to know the truth about him, his love for them, his ways, the goodness of his ways, the future that they could have. It's easy to see when we start to look with God's eyes. Don't dream of a project and then pray for the Lord to bless your efforts. Instead, join him in what he is doing. And trust him to provide all that is needed for everything he wants to do through you. Simple? Yes. Easy? No. It's simple to understand the steps, but not easy to do it. Has this message moved you? Do you want to trust Jesus more? If so, tell somebody. You know, it's going to be scary stepping out in faith to follow him. Talk to somebody. They will encourage you in it. I encourage you in it from up here. Get the help you need. If you want to come forward and tell the minister, tell the elders, please do so while we stand and sing.
Without
Please be seated.
We have two this morning that have made the decision to put on Christ in baptism. Good news? That is very good news. Just less than a month ago, we talked to you about the baptisms of Lindsay and Noah Maiden. This is Charlotte Merrifield's daughter, Lindsay. And they had been baptized before, but had wandered from the truth, had gone into other teachings and religions that were not following the New Testament. And they wanted to come back and make certain that they were doing it with the right understanding. And boy, that was just such a great thing. And now their children, two of their children, Hank first talked about it, and then Lola this morning said, I've made that decision too. They also have their daughter Emma, and Emma's with us this morning as well. But I met with them on Wednesday evening, talked with Hank. Hank was the one that was really thinking about it at that time, and I'm impressed with his understanding, his desire to do what is right. And then this morning, Lola came up to me and said, could I be baptized today too? Well, yeah, of course. We are so happy about that, and I'm just excited about it. Charlotte is away right now on a trip, and so I know that's something she will bemoan, but they're going to capture this on video, and she'll be rejoicing about this good news as well. But we're just so thankful for their decisions, and I urge you, if you can stay, we'll take a few minutes extra to do the baptism because it's that important. I hope you can stay. This is a spiritual miracle that you're going to behold, leaving death caused by sin and entering into new life. And so I hope you can stay with us for a few minutes longer and enjoy this. Then also I've been told that we have a family that is ready to make known their desire to be a part of our family here at Central. Seth and, Abigail Harnden have moved here. They came here a few weeks ago with their three children, Amelia, Levi, and Tristan. Did I get all that right? Okay, very good. We've been real impressed with them, of course. I'd heard about them before they moved here. Connections through the Creve Hall Church of Christ, where Abigail grew up and still has family there. But they've really impressed a lot of us. And this morning they met with one or two of our elders and made known their desire. So Harnden family, will you stand up for a moment and let everybody identify who you are? And please get acquainted with them and welcome them into our family. We are so glad they are here with us. And any of you Freed Hardeman people or Ohio folks that want to stay and be a part of us, we're ready. Just unpack and settle in with us here, but we're so glad you're with us. We've also been asked to say a special prayer for Carlene Bannister, who today is checking into Emory Hospital in Atlanta, aiming toward surgery on Friday. A very difficult, kind of a cutting-edge surgery, and we want to pray that that will all go well. So let's bow and go to God in prayer before we do these baptisms. Our God and our Father, we rejoice that your message goes all over the world. And today, a place where most of us have never been, we learn that there are many who are like us, who want to follow Jesus and have made that decision. And today, Father, two more are making that decision. Hank and Lola both have heard the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. Their parents have been teaching it faithfully to them. And now today they want to make that decision to put on Christ in baptism. Lord, how we thank you for them. We pray that they will be strong in their commitment, that they will understand what they're doing and just go at it, full force. And Father, bless all of us around them, that we may gather close, that we may support them, encourage them, and do all that we can to be a blessing to them. because they are a blessing to us today. We also thank you for the Harndon family, for Abigail and Seth, and for their children, Amelia, for Levi and Tristan. And Father, we just pray that you'll bless them as they now become part of our family. We know they're going to add much to us. We pray that we will add much to them, and that together this church can be stronger and more active and a brighter light than ever before. We also want to pray especially for our sister Carlene, who is facing a very difficult surgery on Friday. Father, please bless all those who are working with her. Give them wisdom and skill. And may this surgery have the desired effect of helping her to be strengthened, to have the oxygen that she needs in order to live. Father, just bless her. She has suffered for so long. We know others among us are also having surgery. Kelly Brown's mother is having surgery tomorrow. We know Carrie Van Tine has a surgery coming up on Wednesday. And others are recovering and going through various things. Lord, look upon us. Bless us. Do what needs to be done that only you can do, Father. And now be with us as we help these two complete their obedience to Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
How
Hank, Lola, it's so wonderful to welcome you as a brother and sister in Christ. And it's a privilege to be presiding over the Lord's table this morning for two brand new Christians. We get to partake in this. If you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 11. In Matthew chapter 26, we find the institution of the Lord's Supper. Beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Hank, Lola, this bread that you're about to partake in represents Christ's body that was given on the cross for him, or for us. And further down in verse 27, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The grape juice that you're about to partake in represents Christ's blood that seals this new covenant that we can have forgiveness of sins, that you now have forgiveness of sins. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, at verse 26, we find Paul finishing up the bread and the cup we do in remembrance, but also the final thing that Paul states here. "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as we partake of this bread, as we partake of this cup, we partake of the Lord's death until he comes. We proclaim it. If anyone has need, please raise your hand and we'll get a cup to you. Brother Ken's back there ready to go. If not, let's bow for the bread. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifice your Son gave. As we begin to partake of this bread that represents his body, we understand that that body was beaten and broken in our place, a substitution that we would not suffer the same fate. Father, we thank Hank and Lola, Father, for coming forward. And we thank you for this plan of salvation that you have given that we might partake in. Be with us now and let us do so in a worthy manner. Amen. Continue praying. Heavenly Father, we thank you now for this grape juice that represents your Son's blood that he gave, they shed, that now washes our sins away. Father, as we partake of it, we ask that we do so in a manner that is pleasing to you in remembrance of him and the sacrifice he gave, that we might have eternal, everlasting life. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, separate from the Lord's Supper, but still extremely important, is giving. Now, I can give no better summarization than what our brother did during the lesson today of why it's important to give. Not just our monetary assets, but also our time, our lives, a sacrifice to God. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, now as we come before you to give thanks for any monetary gains that we have given to you, Father, we ask now that this money will be used to further your kingdom. Father, we ask that you be with us and let us become those sacrifices that are for you, holy and acceptable in your sight. Father, we ask that we give our time and we give our monetary status, all of us, to you. Father, we ask that we be good stewards of everything you've given us. Bless us, Father. Be with us. Give us wisdom and direction. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. It's been a great day and because of you. Father, we thank you for this baptism and pray that this couple will live up to their duty as a Christian for the last time. Father, we thank you for Brother Joseph Rose being with us. Ask your rich blessings upon him and his work in Russia. Father, be with all of us and help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.